Okay, let's just open up in prayer. Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much that we can approach your throne of grace with confidence, that you hear us, that you know us, that you love us, that you care about us. I just thank you for who you are, and I'm so grateful for all that you've given us in Christ. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Spirit. Father, I pray that you would speak today, that you would change anything that needs to be changed as I speak, or remove something, and just have your way with me. But Lord, give all of us, including myself, ears to hear your word and hear your truth, a heart to receive that word and to change us. Let us not just be hearers, but doers, and let us be changed into not prayer wimps, but prayer warriors, Lord. I just pray for that, and I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I asked for volunteers to share maybe what God had done for this week, and I did hear, is Lisa Kethley here? I don't see her. She's working. She shared, Bobby, you were there, I think, weren't you, when Lisa shared, or was it just me? I think you were, maybe you had walked away last week, but Lisa just shared how she had done the Psalms, and she had done what the original Bible study last in September had suggested, that you read the Psalm, and then you write out your prayer to God. And she just was kind of glowing, honestly, when she came up. She said, that is just amazing. She said, it's just amazing. So that was just, if you haven't tried that, just let me repeat that. One thing that is really helpful to, as we begin to know God through prayer and to understand, the more we know him and the more we'll trust him and the more we'll pray. And so one way to know him is always in the word. That's the only way you're going to know him. But get into the Psalms. And I just wrote down the characteristics of God, and then I just prayed it in my own mind and thanked him for being a refuge and a strength and a very present help in trouble and his loving kindness and all of that. But others wrote it down. They actually wrote their prayer. So try those different things. Another thing I did, I don't know if I mentioned that last week, but in the New Testament this year, I thought, well, if the Psalms work that great, what about the New Testament? So Jesus is God. If you see Jesus, you see God. And so I just have been going through the Gospels and written down what I see about Jesus, compassionate and kind and merciful and the Son of God and Son of Man, and just written down who I see Jesus to be. And that's been really sweet. And Amy, did you have your little darling book that we talked about? I want Amy to share. She called me, or we were talking, and she brought up something that was, I think you texted me, right? And she said, I have an answer to prayer. Come, I know you're really shy, Amy. I don't want to embarrass you. But she called, and didn't you say you prayed and you found it?
Adorable.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Help me find that little book, and it was the first book I opened.
Oh.
But it's just a cute little book I got from Hobby Lobby.
Oh my gosh.
But so you know how a lot of the Psalms, they're called acrostic Psalms, and they begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So for us, it would be like an A, B, C Psalm. And so it just says, I am, and then I got these, you know, stick-on letters from Big City. Back when you could just walk in and buy a stick-on letter. And so there's, you know, A, B, C. And so on each page, I just wrote...
Read one of them, like read a page. I want you to read Z. Read a Z.
Zealous.
Oh.
Zion. Zany.
Oh.
Actually, my favorite is Zao. It's Z-A-O. It's a Greek word, and it means lively.
Oh, oh, that is so awesome.
Ohio, Zao.
Oh,
so,
read G.
G.
This is fun.
G. Oh, there's a lot of G's.
I bet.
The grave conqueror, the giver of all good things.
Oh.
Ginger's reward, she was my grandmother. The gate, genuine, a Gentile Savior, giving, goodness, generous, the God who sees me and still loves me. Grace, gentle, good, gracious, and glory.
It just makes me want to cry. Is that not amazing? Do y'all see, are y'all getting this? When you concentrate and focus on the characteristics of God. Oh my gosh, you could keep going.
And I'm going to also add people's names to their letter, just as a, to use it as a prayer guide, you know, to pray for people when you get to their letter.
Thank you so much. That book, do y'all, are y'all kind of seeing how this, I hate to say works, because we don't want to, you know, we don't have a process like, oh, this really works when we do that. So I don't mean to say I'm suggesting a procedure to approach God. That's not the point. I know y'all understand that, but just to make sure. But it just inspired, I mean, that just really moved me when she read out those characteristics of our God. And if we're not in the Word, what are we in? Oh, y'all are so asleep. Do we need another break so y'all can wake up? What are we in if we're not in His Word? Big, fat trouble. You won't know that He's good and the grave, grave conqueror. You won't remember these things. The Israelites, can you remember what God always said about them, what it says in the Word? They didn't remember. They forgot. How can you forget that God led you out of Egypt with all of the signs and miracles and brought you to the Red Sea, and then it looked like certain death, but no, it wasn't, and He parts the Red Sea, and they just were dancing and doing the, woohoo, God's good, oh yeah, God's good, girl, you go, girl, go, God. And 3 days later, what are they doing? Oh my God, we're gonna die. He brought us here to kill us. Oh, well, no, we're not gonna live. Oh my God, I should have stayed in Egypt. What's wrong with me? I'm so stupid. See, we forget. I mean, from one moment to the next, we're like, my God is so amazing. And the next, we're like, God hates me, and He's probably going to kill me. I mean, we're probably bipolar or something, spiritually bipolar, I don't know. But in the Word is where you are going to remember who God is. And then you can thank Him for you for who He is. And then when you pray, it just makes you want to pray to this God who's good and a grave conqueror and zealous and that's amazing. That wasn't in my notes, so now we're going to have to stay 2 hours over because I deviated. just kidding. I want to tell you a little story. 5 young college students were spending a Sunday in London, so they went to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon preach. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? While waiting for the doors to open, the students were greeted by a man who asked, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" They were not particularly interested, for it was a hot day in July, but they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway, a door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people bowed in prayer, 700, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Spurgeon. The heating plant. E.M. Bounds said prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed. I love that. A privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. I don't think we completely get this privilege that we have in prayer. Prayer should be our heating plant. When things are hard in our lives, what if we turned up the heat, so to speak? Praying our hearts out. What if not only in the hard times, but what if at all times we had the heat turned up, so to speak, and we were praying our hearts out daily, enjoying that privilege, growing in that privilege, coming to understand our God and know our God and trust our God and love our God and look forward to praying. So as we go forward this week, the title of this session is The Power of Prayer. Obtaining power is a desire that probably most of us can relate to. I'm not a type A person, so I don't care about a lot of power that doesn't, but I do want power to control my eating, maybe power over temper, maybe you want power over your spending habits, maybe power in a legal battle. So I know you can relate to wanting or needing power, power to overcome something. Would you say that your prayer life is powerful? Nobody has to raise a hand, but would you say that your prayer life is powerful? Do you see God at work in answer to your prayers? Most of my prayers as a new Christian were prayers for blessing. Honestly, last week we talked about the pennies, seeking pennies from God rather than the true treasure. Bless my kids, bless my husband, bless my life. That was how I prayed. Bless, bless, bless. My biggest prayers, of course, were always in times of a crisis. Oh my gosh, you know, redeem, save, act, protect, help me, help me, help me, just crying out. And I can't say my prayer life was powerful. Can't say that it was consistent. But what if our prayers were powerful? What if we were not just asking him to help in a crisis, not just asking for blessings, not just praying surface prayers to make our lives easier and more comfortable, but powerful prayers that caused us and others to grow spiritually, to grow spiritually. So I want to cover 3 points today. God moves in powerful ways when we pray for his will to be done. We can trust that his will is always perfect, and praying his word profits us and others because his word is his will. Number one, God moves in powerful ways when we pray for his will to be done. Jerry Bridges said, "It is my non-scientific observation that most Christians neither pray in his name, which means consciously acknowledging their dependence on his righteousness for their access to God and their standing before him. We could not approach God were it not for Jesus and our faith in Jesus. He would not hear our prayers. Nor do they pray as his representative, as God's representative, asking first of all that his name be hallowed and that his will be done. We're his representatives. And think about it, that's how Jesus prayed. Lord, your will be done, your will be done. When we humbly recognize and appreciate that, first of all, we could not even pray to God apart from Jesus who gave us that privilege, and we certainly couldn't, we should be praying that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we're going to see God move in powerful ways when we do that. God always answers prayer that aligns with his will and his ways. Let me just give you an example of that. Suppose you had a 14-year-old son, and his birthday's coming up. And he says to you, "Hey, Mom, for my birthday next Saturday, I want to have a keg party." Now, maybe that's not a term people use today, but do you know what a keg party is? You get a keg of beer or whatever. I don't know what they call it nowadays. Probably something I don't even want to know about. But what if he said, "I want a keg party"? And what if he also said, "Now, some of my friends don't drink, so if you could get some drugs, that'd be great too." I mean, would you say, "Oh, well, yeah, sure. Do you want one or two kegs?" I mean, no, that's not happening. Why? That's not your will. You're not going to answer his request because that's not your will for your son. But what if he said, "Mom, there's a new Bible study on Tuesday night. I would really like to go. Would you get me a Bible and would you take me every Tuesday night because I really want to go?" Well, what would you say? Well, of course. I mean, you would probably cancel anything that was going on so you could get him to the church on Tuesday night. Because why? That's according to your will. It's going to be answered. And so it's the same with God. When we pray according to his will, he's going to answer us. We don't have to wonder. He's going to answer us. Now, is it going to give us a power to get what we want every time? No. Absolutely not. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." That's James 4:3. Spurgeon said, "There is a limit to the doctrine of the prayer of faith. We are not to expect that God will give us everything we choose to ask for. We know that we sometimes ask and do not receive because we ask wrongly. If we ask for that which is not promised, if we run counter to the spirit that the Lord would have us cultivate, if we ask contrary to his will or to the decrees of his providence, if we ask merely for selfish gratification and without a concern for his glory, we must not expect that we will receive." So it's not a power to get what we want every time, but a power to get God's will every time. 1 John 5 14 through 15, 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything," I love that, anything, "ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." I think that's kind of a convoluted translation. But basically it's saying if we ask according to his will, he's going to hear us and he's going to answer us. That's what that's saying. What a promise to take hold of. John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you." We have this amazing power to pray his will and his word and know that he's going to answer us. And that's power. How do we know what his will is? Only through his word. And what are you in if you're not in his word? Big fat trouble. Y'all are so sleepy today. What a luxury, what a treasure to know that there is a way to pray in which God will always answer. We can expect powerful answer when we pray according to his perfect will to be done in our lives and the lives of others. 2, we can trust that his will is always perfect. Not only can we trust he will answer us when we ask for his will to be done, but we can trust that his will is always perfect. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That means that you literally change your thoughts by his word. Now, his word becomes your thoughts. His word becomes your will. So you're transformed. And that word transformed is the word metamorpho in the Greek. It's the same thing that happens to a caterpillar when the metamorphosis takes place and it turns into a butterfly. So just picture that. You are transformed just like a caterpillar into a butterfly. When you put that word into your heart and make your thoughts and your mind new based on his word. And then you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. The word good means good, benevolent, profitable, useful, excellent, the best. I want the best. By the way, when I give you definitions, it's always from the Greek unless I clarify and say Webster's Dictionary says or something like that. Acceptable means well-pleasing and acceptable, meaning that which God wills. He accepts that because that's what he wanted in the first place. Perfect means, I love this definition, wanting in nothing. Wanting in nothing. Don't you just love that? God's will is wanting in nothing. It's excellent, it's profitable, it's useful, it's benevolent, it's well-pleasing to God. It's wanting in nothing. I love that. We talked last week that the enemy loves for us to believe that God's will is not good, that it will not profit you, that it's not benevolent, that it is something to be feared and never to be embraced. Don't ever ask God for his will to be done. You can't trust him. You can't just let him loose and say, "Hey, I want your will, God." He's dangerous. Don't pray those prayers. Think about that. We talked last week, do you have a fear of saying, "Yeah, Lord, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you what I want in this situation because what I really want is your will." Do you have that sort of confidence? Because we should. The enemy's really done a number on us. We're real hesitant to say, "Hey, just do your will." We're afraid of it. And why would we be afraid of something that's perfect? Something that's benevolent and good and well-pleasing? The enemy lies because God's will is always perfect and there's nothing lacking in his will. How would your life be different if you knew God? If you really knew and believed that he's good and he's perfect and he loves you? How would your life be different if you trusted God 100%, 100% of the time? You didn't have those fears and doubts. You knew your God was for you. You knew that he loved you. You believed that he was for you and not against you. You believed that he would never leave you or forsake you. You believed that if you asked him for your will, you would get good things because God is good. Doesn't mean it won't be hard, but it means it's good. Going to the gym is hard, which is why so few of us go, but it's good for you. God's will is hard sometimes, but it's good for you. I want to tell you a story, just as an example, about the power and perfection of praying that God's will be done. In 2012, my granddaughter Ashley, I talked last week about Sarah. She's my oldest granddaughter. She's now 28. Ashley is her sister, and Ashley is now 26 years old. But in 2012, she was 19, and she called to tell me that she was pregnant. That was so not a fun call. Just so that you know about me, I was pregnant. I got pregnant at 18 and was not married. My daughter got pregnant at 18 and she was not married. Her daughter Sarah got pregnant at, I believe, 17, if I'm not mistaken. I can't quite remember. And she was not married. And now Ashley. Can you even grasp that sort of devastation? I mean, I've already been there and done that. And now I'm doing it for the fourth time? Seriously? I know where this leads. I know the devastation. I know the pain. I know what this is. I just was absolutely, I can't hardly talk about it now. It's just devastating. You don't want that for your girls. You just don't want that for your girls. I hung up just bawling, just bawling. And this is the strangest thing. I'm just going to tell you the facts. I'm not embellishing in any way. But here's what happened. I was sobbing. And I bowed my head, and this is exactly what I said. This is what came out of my mouth. I said, God, I am begging you that this child is a boy and that Brenda and Reed adopt him. There's no explanation for that. Let me tell you who Brenda and Reed are. I'll just be up front. Brenda and Reed DeWalt, that's Brenda is Linda Richardson's daughter. So maybe you know about Brenda and Reed. And Reed is Sue DeWalt's son. We know them, but I don't go to coffee with them. I don't have their phone number. I don't call them. I don't go to dinner with them. I don't go to lunch with them. I basically knew Brenda and Reed, obviously from Linda. I don't even know Linda that well. We are in small group, but I don't call Linda and, hey, how you doing, girlfriend? And when I meet for coffee, I mean, I love Linda to death, but do you understand what I'm saying? You know it, but you know, we don't get together on a regular basis at all. Brenda and Reed, I saw them once a year at a 4th of July party. That's all. But they have two adopted girls, and Brenda really is, and Reed is too. But Brenda is one of those young women I am just so drawn to. I don't know if you can picture what I'm talking about, but she loves to minister to other women. And so, you know, it's a pretty big party that we go to on 4th of July, but every time I'd pass her, she was talking to a younger woman in their 20s or 30s. And you could just hear her enthusiasm for God. And, well, girl, now you can do this. You know what? Here's what I found. And you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And, well, tell me more. But you could just hear her. She's always in ministry mode. She's just a precious young woman. I so admired her, but she lives in Denver, so I would have probably called her and asked her to go for coffee, but you know, it didn't ever happen, but I always admired her. And I knew that they had two adopted girls, and I knew that they had at one time wanted a boy, but I didn't have any clue. They actually had a boy adopted once, and 2 weeks later, the mother took him back. It was an excruciating ordeal. And devastating. It really did devastate them. So I can't explain. Sharon Wilmington is one of my best friends. So if her daughter couldn't have a baby, it would make sense that I would hang up my phone and think, oh Lord, please may Rebecca Hahn adopt this little child, you know, whatever, my granddaughter. You know, I could see that prayer. That would kind of make sense. But I don't know Brenda and Reed that well. So I'm just telling you, how does a prayer like that happen? I don't know. I just felt compelled to pray that they would adopt this child. But more than praying for adoption, which I did pray for, I really prayed most of the time, God, just accomplish your will. This seems like a complete and total disaster, completely and totally. But I trust you. And whatever, I know you have a perfect will for all of this, for me, for both of my granddaughters. In fact, my granddaughter Sarah was also pregnant at the very same time. They were 2 months apart. Sarah was in a terrible marriage, and that did result in a divorce. Her husband left her. So it was just the drama was off the charts during this time. I can't even begin to tell you, every day was a drama. With those two girls. It was crazy. Ashley was young. She was not prepared to raise a child. I would explain what her boyfriend was like, but you don't want to know what I think he was like. All of those situations of pregnant and not married were bad, but this one was the worst. It was the worst. It was absolutely the worst. I could literally talk another hour and give you all the details of the drama-filled time during that period of time. I really just at first prayed for the pain to stop. Have you ever done that? Lord, just stop the pain. And I'll be really honest with you. I actually prayed at first that God would just take me home to heaven. I really did. I won't hide that. I said, God, I just, you know what? I don't want to do this. I've done it. I've been there. I've done it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to go through it. I would prefer that you take me home to heaven. I don't even want to know what happens. I had seen enough. Enough was enough. But here's what else I knew. I knew all that the pain, I didn't want to go through that, but here's what else I knew. Hard times make us perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Not the good times. I really believed that. And perfect means to obtain moral maturity, but I love the definition of complete. To become who you were intended to be in Christ, to serve your destined purpose. Which of you here would not want that? I want that. I want to be who I was intended to be in Christ and serve my destined purpose. I want that for my granddaughters. I want that for my great-grandchildren. I want that for my daughter. I want that. I want that. So it's going to be hard to get that, but I want that. So I was aware of that, and I prayed for that. Lord, use this trial. Use this trial. Every day I would pray, don't waste this trial. I'm going to have to go through it unless you take me home. But let there be some fruit from it. Let us come out of this perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I prayed that. And I prayed for God's perfect will to be done. I knew that it didn't look good, sound good, feel good, taste good. I knew that everything about this was awful in my feeling realm. But I knew that God had a plan here. I had no clue what it was, but I knew it was perfect. I really did believe that. There's a long, long story. I literally could talk another hour about all the different details. It's really incredible. Ashley did have a boy. His name was Max, and Brenda and Reed adopted him. It's incredible. It's literally incredible. I will tell you one funny story. We're doing good on time. Excuse me. Ashley was totally opposed to adoption. That was just not going to happen. And so I dropped it. And in July, she was due in September. It was in June, late June. And my son had just had a baby. There were actually 4 pregnant women in my family in a 9-month period. And they were all had little boys. It's really funny. But so my son David had just had his little son. We were actually leaving to go to Dallas the very next day. So Ashley called, and she's sobbing. And she said, Nanny, I can't keep Max. I can't raise Max. I've realized that I cannot do this. And I'm going to share something else it's just interesting to me. I had talked to her about that. I love her. She trusts me, I hope. No, not happening. Do you know how she came to decide on adoption? She works at a restaurant. And there was a 20-year-old young man, and I'm just going to be, it's not maybe politically correct, but I'm just going to tell you what the facts are. A 20-year-old man who wasn't sure if he was straight or gay. Now, I'm assuming he's not a Christian. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But do you know what he said to her one day? She was crying. And he said to her, Ashley, I just want to be honest with you. We're both 20. You can't do this. You don't have what it takes. You need to give that child up for adoption. God can speak through donkeys. He can speak through grandmothers sometimes. And sometimes he uses this obscure young man that none of us would think would offer wisdom. I wouldn't have expected that. Isn't that amazing? That amazes me. And so she called me and she was sobbing. And she said, I can't do this. And I said, I understand, sweetheart. And she said, I'm terrified. You know, we went through, talked for about an hour. And one of the things she said to me was, she said, Nanny, I don't know that adopted children are happy. And I said, I get that. I've known some, and I get that. I totally get it. But I think there's some that aren't happy. I have 2 cousins that are totally happy. They've never wondered who their parents are, don't want to know who their parents are. So it does work both ways. I said, I actually know of a family here in Colorado. I wasn't, at that point, I can be manipulative. I really wasn't trying to manipulate it at this particular juncture. But I just randomly said, there is a family. Just look at their Facebook page, Brenda and Reed DeWalt. Just go through their family pictures. Those girls look truly happy to me. I know them, not really well, don't have her phone number, but I see them every year at a party. They just look so well adjusted. I know this young woman's mother, and just look at, that's a family of adopted kids. Just take a look. And at one time they wanted a boy, don't know if they'd want a boy, don't know if I could contact them, I don't even know, but just look at them. So then I said, but also contact my friend Kay, who worked at the pregnancy center. She knows Kay. And I said, contact Kay. I bet she knows about adoption. I'll leave Dallas for Dallas tomorrow. I'll be there the next day, the following day. And we'll work through this together, Ashley. I'll just walk through the whole thing. So that was a good conversation. The next day I texted Ashley. We're in the car. How are you today? I'm praying my heart out. I'm doing great. Your friend helped so much. Good. That's, you know, I wasn't talking. I was texting. Good news. That's great, honey. I'm so happy. I'm still praying. We're going to get through this. Next day. I'm in Dallas. I'll see you soon. How are you doing today, baby? I'm praying. I'm doing great. Brenda's helped me so much. Brenda? Brenda who? Brenda DeWalt. All on text. Brenda DeWalt. You've talked to Brenda DeWalt. You know, I just picture bursting through the front door. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm pregnant. Want my baby? You know, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? Oh my gosh, you contacted Brenda? You know, I'm trying to be restrained, but I'm freaking out. Oh, so how did you come about contacting Brenda? She said, well, you told me to go to her Facebook page. So I did, and they looked so sweet. So I just Facebook messaged her a private message, and I said, what did you say? And she said, I said, hi, I'm Debbie Dittrich's granddaughter, and I'm pregnant with a boy. And I'm just really struggling and wonder, you know, could you help me? Could you talk to me? God is so amazing. I mean, that's probably the worst thing you could ever do, you know, to get somebody interested to adopt your child. But God used that. And at that point, Debbie Dittrich, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I was out of the picture. Because now Brenda, what does Brenda love to do? Minister to young women. Who does Brenda especially love in the universe? Well, that would be unwed pregnant mothers. And so that relationship formed. I never said or did another thing. And Brenda just wanted to help her walk through this difficult situation. And she said, sweetheart, I am still hurting way too much to even consider adopting your child. However, whatever open door God opens, whatever door God opens, I will walk through it. That's all I can tell you. And Max now belongs to Brenda and Reed DeWalt. And Linda Richardson is my great-grandson's grandmother. That's convoluted, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? And I've told you all about Sarah. Sarah was in a terrible marriage. She was pregnant with her little son. She had already had a daughter. It couldn't be any worse. Her husband had 5 DWIs. He worked at the car wash. You know, it's just not an ideal marriage. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. And so, but Sarah, who I told y'all last week about, Sarah said that trusting God in Max's adoption was her first act of faith. She was not in favor of adoption. And one day I told her, I said, I'm not fighting for or against adoption. I tend to believe this might be God's will, but I truly only want God's will. If he wants her to keep that child, I'm for that. But I'm just going to say this to you, Sarah. What if God's will was to give Max up for adoption? Not saying it is. I'm just saying, what if it was? Would you want to be part of his perfect will or not? Would you want your will or would you want God's? That's all I want you to think about. And she said it, she pondered that, and then she came to begin to pray and trust God for his will regarding Max, whether that was for adoption. And I've already told you, she has become one of the strongest women of faith I've ever known in my life. And that's just the truth. God did amazing things. Ashley is no longer, she was... an alcoholic. She is no longer drink. She has a great job. She's doing well. Max really is an amazing little guy. Just ask Linda Richardson. He's It's amazing. And it's open adoption. So she gets to go and visit him. I get to see him, and it's so cute. I went up to him at a party a couple of years ago, and he was actually with Sarah's children, his biological cousins. And I think my older granddaughter, great-granddaughter, actually said this to him. But I walked up and said, "Hey, Max, what are you doing today?" He said, "Hey, guess what? I'm Ashley's kid." And I said, "Yeah, and I'm Ashley's grandmother, so there you go." I thought that was so cute. "Hey, I'm Ashley's kid." And I said, "Well, yeah, you are." I think my great-granddaughter told him that. So do I understand any of what I just told you? I mean, that's a story that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, how do you explain a lot of that? I don't know how to explain any of it. Did I pray a certain verse? I did actually pray some verses that we would all be, and when I say we, myself, my daughter, and those two granddaughters, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would endure through this trial to become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I did pray that God would do more than I ever asked for or imagined. But mostly, I kept praying for God's will to be done. I prayed night and day through great tears and grief for his will to be done. I prayed for me to be right in the center of his will, and I literally would say that with tears streaming down my face. "I just want to be the center of your will. Keep me right there." I mean, I can't even tell you the pain. I cried every single day. I often screamed every single day. Sometimes I cussed and stomped my little feet and clenched my tiny little fist. I have little fists. Wish my rear end was that little, but there you go. Actually, every morning I woke up in a state of fear and anxiety. My eyes would pop open, and the fear and anxiety would immediately, just like a flood of robbers and thieves, and I would usually start bawling. I was literally brokenhearted. And so what I did, this might help some of you. I limited myself, and I would cry only for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I poured it all out to God. And again, some days it had words that were not acceptable, to be honest. But I just poured it out. No filter, just God this and God that, and I can't stand it, and I hate this, and I hate that, and I don't, you know. And I just poured it out. But then I would say, "But you are good. And you can be trusted, and your will is perfect, and I want to be a part of your perfect plans, and you will give me strength to endure this. I can trust you." In fact, most of us need bigger butts. Seriously, not the one you sit on, but the one that comes out of your mouth. I want to explain something. So now you can start praying for a big butt. Seriously, if I said to you, "Listen, I'm so glad all of you are here, but," now, right away, aren't you like, okay, she's fixing to say something that I'm probably not going to like, because I'm fixing to hear truth, and this isn't going to be great. Do you see what I'm saying? When we say the word "but," you're fixing to hear truth. The person that's talking, you're going to hear truth. Now, sometimes that's bad, and sometimes that's good. You know, "You've been ugly to me, but I love you." So it can go both ways. But we need to do that with the Lord. Consider that. If you're in a desperate situation, go ahead, pour out your heart. Spend 5, 10, 15 minutes, but stop it there and then say, "Okay, God, now you know how I feel, but this is the bigger truth. It's true that I feel all of that. It's true that I'm terrified. It's true this looks like a disaster, but you are good. And you can be trusted, and your will is always perfect, and I want to be a part of your will." Do you see what I'm saying? What if you had a huge "but" that always followed these terrible feelings that overwhelmed you? There is a greater truth. Laura, how did you used to say it? It was something like, "There's truth, but there's a greater truth." What, do you remember that? But it's basically, it's true that you feel this way, but there is a greater truth, and it's the truth about God. But what are you in if you're not in his word? Come on, big, fat, you will not remember what? That he's good, that he can be trusted, that his will is perfect. You'll be running around just like the Israelites. "Oh my gosh, he brought me here to kill me. We're never going to make it. We're all going to die. I wish I'd stayed in Egypt." You see? We're not going to remember that if we're not in his word. when we start telling ourselves the truth about God and not just the truth about our feelings, your life will change. The lives of others around you will change. Excuse me. God's will is always perfect. Always, always, always. Number three, praying his word profits us and others. I don't know if any of you do this, but this is amazing to pray his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. The word profitable means helpful and advantageous. Adequate means fully furnished. All parts are what they're supposed to be so one might serve his destined purpose. It's very similar to that word complete that I said earlier from James, so that we can serve our destined purpose. They're closely related. They're not the same, but they're closely related. I want to be fully furnished. Don't you? To have everything you need spiritually. I want to pray prayers for myself and for my family that equip them fully, that leave us all fully furnished. I want my family and I want myself to serve our destined purpose in Christ. And the most profitable thing we can do is to pray God's word for ourselves and our families. Listen to these verses. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word is living. That means it's full of vigor. It's efficient. It's powerful. This is not just a dead, old, 2,000-year-old word. It's living. It accomplishes things. It accomplishes the word of God. In fact, it says the word of God is active. It has energy. That means it has energy. It's capable of doing things and accomplishing things. This word accomplishes things. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be," that's Isaiah 55:11, "which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." When we pray God's word, which is his will for ourselves and others, we can expect that it will accomplish what God desires. Spurgeon said, "You're a welcome guest at this table of promises. Scripture is a never-failing treasure filled with boundless stores of grace. It is the bank of heaven. You may draw from it as much as you wish without any hindrance." Isn't that just, I just love that. The unfathomable treasures of this word. What if we stopped asking God for pennies and started asking God to do a deep work in our hearts? To change us, to change our loved ones, literally to transform. That's that word metamorpho that means changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. What if you were praying that those you loved would be transformed in their hearts and minds? Not just change circumstances, but literally changing hearts and minds. I fear that some of us only want God to furnish our every material desire. Bless my husband, bless my kids, keep us well, give me that job, give me this new car. Please, please, please help us. Do you only pray for your temporary needs and things that make you comfortable? If so, I want to encourage you to also pray for the deep, spiritual, eternal things. Why ask God only for temporary things and honestly sometimes worthless things instead of the eternal things that are priceless, things that will last for all eternity? Jesus only prayed for eternal things, that his disciples would glorify God, that they would be one with each other and have unity so that the world would believe in Jesus, that their joy would be made full, that they would be kept from the evil one, that God's love would be in them. He prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. I love that verse. He prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. I find that encouraging. My faith fails. Does he pray for me like he did for Peter? Yes. He prays for all of us. Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 tells us that he intercedes for us, which means he makes petitions to God for us, for on our behalf. Jesus is praying for you. Can you picture Jesus pleading with the Father on your behalf? The perfect one pleading for the imperfect one? That just blows my mind when you think about it. Do you pray and intercede for the imperfect ones in your life? Do you plead for them like Jesus might with the Father? What a picture to encourage us to pray for others. The first spiritual thing I ever prayed for was patience. Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. If you know it, say it with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I prayed for patience. I was a new Christian. I knew that according to the Bible, I should have patience, and I wasn't patient. And I would always stop on places like that, and maybe you do too, but I would read patient, and my first thought was, well, I'm not patient. But I would just move right on past that, kind of like, oh, well, that's a size 4 jean. I'll never fit in a size 4 jean, so whatever, dude, I'm moving on to the larger sizes. See what I'm saying? Why don't we stop there and say, yeah, I don't have patience. I need it. I think I'll pray for it. You see what I'm saying? Instead of saying, oh, well, that's not me. I've never been patient. Are you kidding me? That would never happen. Pray for it. But see, I heard people say, I bet you've heard this. I cannot count the number of times in the 30 years plus of me being a believer that I've heard people say, don't ever pray for patience. Are you kidding me? Just wait for bad things to happen if you start praying for patience because God is going to really lay it on you. Have you heard stuff like that? I heard that just a week ago, for real. I was with a woman and she said, oh my gosh, I'm so impatient. People say, pray for patience. I would never pray for patience. Are you kidding? That's when your life is really going to get hard because God will hear you and then your life will be. And then she'd go, ha ha ha. Every time somebody says that, they always laugh. I don't know why they do that, but it's always like, ha 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 ha. That's not funny. If you don't pray for patience, it's like, okay, you know what? I don't want hard times. I'm not going to pray for patience. I'll protect me and my family. Well, that's just dumb. Hard times are going to come whether you pray for patience or not. All that means is you're going to go through the hard time without patience. And you won't endure, and the trial, you'll still go through the trial, but it just won't leave you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you see that? We should pray for these things. Pray for these spiritual things in God's word so that we can become more like him. Does that make sense? These are powerful prayers when we ask for spiritual, eternal things, things that are according to God's word and his will. Here are some things that I've prayed for myself, for my friends, for my family, that God would work. And you have a handout with all these on it, so you don't feel like you have to write it down. I've prayed that God would work in me both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. I've prayed that my children be disciples, taught of the Lord, obedient to his commands with great peace and undisturbed composure. That's Isaiah 54:13. I love that scripture. I pray that they would seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. That's Matthew 6:33. Again, all these are written down for you. I pray that they would live knowing they're loved. That's just John 3:16. There's a million verses on that we're loved. I pray that others would live by faith and not fear. I combine a couple of scriptures. That's actually 2 Timothy 1:7 and 2 Corinthians 5:7. That we would live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. I just love these. I love this one, that God would strengthen me with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Do you think God's not going to answer that? He's going to answer that. It's not a maybe. It's not like you're praying for the new car. I pray for it. We need a new car. Car's really old. Lots of things wrong with it. So almost every day I say, Lord, I pray for the right car at the right price at the right time. I do. I pray for that. I don't know when God will answer that prayer, but or if he will answer that prayer. But I know he will answer this prayer. That he would strengthen me with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. He will answer that because that's according to his will and his word. Period. I prayed specific prayers. One was to love my stepson. He was 15 when we got married. I had three children. My husband had one, and he had an only child, and he was a true only child. And so he was challenging, let's just say. He was very challenging. And I'm not sure I felt a lot of love for him. It was just always a problem. He would create problems with my children and problems between my husband and I, and I wasn't very mature still, so I'm sure I added to the problem. But one day, I actually stood outside his room. He was in his room, and I just said, Lord, I honestly don't have any love here. It's not like I could say, grow my love, because it's just not there. So would you just give me your love for that boy? I know you love him. And would you just give me your love for that child? And he did. He answered that prayer. I love that young man. He's 47 now. He's an amazing young man. He's an amazing policeman. Just he's truly an amazing young man. I love him so much. He is my son. He's not a stepson. He's my son. I love him. I've prayed to pray more. If you're sitting there thinking, you know, I don't pray much. Well, pray to pray more. If you're not in his word and you are in big fat trouble, say, Lord, just I pray that you'd get me into your word more. I pray that I'd love your word more. I pray that I'd understand it. Sometimes I've prayed that God would bring my children to distress. Yeah. Let me explain why I do that. Psalms, I'll just read it to you. Psalm 107. Oops, wrong way. Psalm 107. And it's 17 through 20. This is talking about the Israelites that we've been talking about. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then, in that distress, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So, I don't want my children to suffer. That's not what I'm saying. Hey, God, would you just like curse my children? That's not what I'm saying. I want him to deliver them. So if they need to face the consequences of their actions and suffer some distress because of their rebellious ways, I'm not talking about they're merrily serving the Lord and I say, hey, would you rain down a little distress on my children? That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the rebellious child. Have you ever had one? Rebellious. They're not walking with the Lord. They're in lots of trouble. They're causing lots of trouble. I have said to the Lord, Lord, bring on the distress. Let it just come so that they will cry out to you, so that you can heal them, so that you will send your word and deliver them from all of their destructions. That's a good prayer to pray. And I'll just say something to those of you who are still mothers with children that struggle. Don't bail them out. Don't bail them out. Consequences are a great, God's great gift to all of us. And if you bail them out, then you're protecting your child from the consequences, and they will never learn, and they will never turn to God. So let them face consequences. Stop bailing them out, and start praying them out of that situation they're in. Start crying out to God. We had a house that was not rented once. This was about 10 or 12 years ago. Great stress. It was a rent house. The lady moved out. She destroyed it in the process. We just decided to get rid of it and sell it. It was just a really, really, really stressful time. And I just, you know, when you suddenly go and you now have a mortgage that the renter was paying and now you have the $1,000 mortgage, for us that was a huge hit every single month. And we had thousands of dollars coming out to fix it up. It was just a really terrible time, and every day I was just pleading with God, please, 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 please sell this house. I'm begging you, please sell this house so I can have peace. I'm begging you to do that. And one day, just almost as clear as a bell, it was as if he spoke to my heart and said, well, you can have peace when the house sells, or you can have it today. I give you my peace. Do you see what he's saying? He said, I give you my peace, not as the world gives. So I realized, oh my gosh, I'm praying. Yeah, I'm going to keep praying the house sells, but today I can walk in peace whether that house sells or not. I don't have to wait. It's not dependent on the house. It's dependent on Jesus. And what is peace? It's his gift to us. It's his will for us. I can pray for it and get it. Is this making sense, what we have these great privileges to pray for? One day I was praying for my young son. He was probably about 22 or 3, and he wasn't horribly rebellious, but he was totally not walking with the Lord, I can guarantee you. And I just said, Lord, how can I pray for my son? I don't even know what his heart really is like. How can I pray for him? And I suddenly remembered a poem, The Hound of Heaven, where God just chases somebody down like the hound of heaven and won't let go of him. And I said, Lord, I pray that you'd chase my son David like the hound of heaven. And I just kept praying that. And so probably about 3 weeks later, I was in my bedroom and he knocked on the door and he said, hey, Mom, can I come in and talk to you? And I said, sure. He said, and he was kind of moving all around. He said, I need some answers and I don't know what's going on. And I said, really? Well, what's happening? And he said, I don't even know how to explain it, but I just feel like I'm being chased by God or something. What is that? And I said, oh, I can tell you what that is. That's an answer to one of your mama's prayers. So God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers and he answers them. It's amazing. So let's pray for God's will. Let's pray God's word. I want to read 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 real quick. I remember K. Arthur saying, all the T's come before the H in Hebrews, and they're in alphabetical order. Have you all ever heard that? So now you have. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. So ladies, my point is this. Can you pray for material things? Of course you can. And God gives them. I've had so many material blessings. But let's also pray for that which is life indeed, which is this. This is life, the word of God. Pray for God's true life that comes from his word so that he will answer your prayers. Let's move out of ourselves and our limited views and our pathetic little wills into kingdom views and kingdom will and kingdom power by praying for God's will to be done and not ours. Last night, I don't know if any of you watched, but I was watching Trump and Kim Jong, blah, 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 yeah, that guy. And I just got a mental picture of us and God. You know, who would have thought those two would meet and shake hands and talk about peace? And I don't know how that will all end out. I'm not trying to go with that. But I'm just saying, imagine us with God. We were enemies, bent on destruction. And then we meet Jesus Christ and come to him by faith. We've been saved by grace through faith. And now we have peace with God. And now our lives are changed. We can operate differently. And one of those things that we can operate differently with is through prayer. Just imagine if peace is really made. I mean, they're proclaiming it, but what if it really is? And Kim and Trump can actually talk, and Kim can ask for things, and Trump can, I don't know, I'm actually just making this up, obviously. But we can ask God for things that are critical and important and eternal, and let's not waste that opportunity. So I want to just take a little bit of time and pass out, these are some exercises, so just take one and pass it down. And I'll explain it. And there's a lot of verses here. Oh, thank you, if you just do that. There's a lot of verses there. And it's not just for the exercises today, but take it home and look through it. Today you won't have time to really read it in our exercise, but just keep it and go through it. If you're not familiar with praying for scriptures, using scripture to pray to God for things. These are some great examples, some great prayers to pray. Nancy, give me one of those too. Thank you, ma'am. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the example on the front sheet. The example of praying scripture is Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." So if I was going to pray that as a prayer for myself or my loved ones, I might pray, "God, I pray that I would not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. I pray that I would know what your will is." I mean, it's real simple. You just use the words of the scripture. Or it can be shorter. I often just say, "Lord, transform me. Just transform me." Because he knows what his word is. He knows what I'm asking for. So there's lots of scriptures here. And I did do another thing. On the very back page, if any of you know someone who really struggles knowing that you're loved, do you struggle knowing God loves me? I know he loves me. If you can't honestly say that, just go home and ponder it. I call it a love letter from God. But there's just all these scriptures. It's all scripture. After every sentence, there's a scripture that tells you how God loves you. And it's, if you do struggle with that, it's time to get over that. That's the enemy, shutting your heart out of what's actually yours. Your God loves you. And so if you or someone, your child or a friend, really struggles with that, these are great scriptures. It's time to just say, "Well, I don't feel loved. But you know what? I've decided to believe what God's word says." That's what this is. It isn't a matter of you saying, "You know what? Yes, I feel so loved. I don't feel loved sometimes. I don't even feel lovable sometimes." But that's not true. But, see, I use my big but very wisely. But God's word says I'm loved. Not only loved, dearly loved. And it's time to start believing that. So anyway, take that, not too long. This is not hard. Don't make it hard. I'm looking for a couple of sentences. But just look through these scriptures. Does anything hit your heart? How could you word that into a very simple little prayer? One sentence maybe. Maybe just three words. But just look through these and see if you could come up with a prayer. And if you don't have a pencil, just think of it in your head. I'll ask a few of you to maybe share how you worded a prayer. Or if you have another scripture that you already pray often and you love it, then just remember that and let's use that. Oh, Pam, did y'all all hear that? No? Do you have it written down? Could I read it? I love that, Pat. It's for a woman who suffers depression and addiction and abandonment, a lot of fear. And so she used it based on 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says, "God, fear is not from you. Take away my fear and give me your power. Help me to know you love me. Give me a sound mind free of depression and anxiety." And often I do that scripture and just say, "Lord," when I'm afraid, because that's how I was set. That's how I was programmed as a child. But I'll say, "Lord, thank you that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." I just love that because a lot of my life, I've told y'all, I was suicidally depressed, so I didn't feel like I had a sound mind. Far from it. So it's just a powerful thing to say, "Lord, thank you that I have a sound mind. That's what you've given me. I want to walk in that." Anybody else want to share theirs? Please, Vicki, go ahead.
"Lord, help me to not be anxious or worried about my current circumstances, but to instead pray and petition for your presence and your will to be done, so that I can have your peace and a guarded heart focused only on you."
Amen. Does anybody pray the word frequently? Is that something you do normally? Yes, I had a feeling you would. Now, would you mind sharing how you do that?
I have to confess
Can you stand up, they said? I'll stand close to you. So you can maybe hear in my microphone.
When I finish, I'm going to sit down on the steps. In 98, Les and I went to Shasta Bible College, and it was on prayer, and they taught us how to pray the scriptures. So someday I'll bring you my prayer book and show you. Child are on one page. And then we went to a DPCA
meeting or
no,
conference? Okay.
That's how it happens when you're almost 80.
Oh.
Anyway.
I know, she's so young looking. Wow.
You want to see my wrinkles?
Sure. We'll compare.
My wrinkles have wrinkles.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the man was a soldier and couldn't write. And in his Bible, he had pictures of different people that he was praying for. So when he got to that part of the Bible where it's still open, he prayed for that child. So I took that idea home in my prayer book, and I put, it's a mess now after 20 years, pictures of that family and that family and that family. And
wow.
I pray those scriptures for that family. And so now some of that's in my head. But
yes.
Now this is where I'm going to sit down really quick. When times get easy, you fall away from them.
You do. Yes. Sally, thank you for saying that. Thank you for sharing. Did y'all all get that pretty much? Thank you. I want you to think about letting me interview you for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. You don't have to say yes, not today, but down the road.
I'll bring you my book.
Okay, and show us. She's a real prayer warrior, and prayer warriors aren't known. They don't like to be known. They don't want us to talk about them, and that's not why I'm bringing her up, but I'm bringing her up because she has so much she could teach us about praying and being faithful. And we do all fall away. So I just want to encourage y'all, pray the word. Start asking God. Start there. If this is like, what? I'm supposed to remember the word and pray the word and I don't get it. Just say, God, your word is powerful. I want to get in it so I'm not in big fat trouble. And I want to know how to pray it so that it's powerful and you'll answer me. And I don't even know where to start. So just help me start. Anytime you feel like, oh, I can't do that, or I know God's word says this, but I'm not able and I just can't, that's where you need to stop and pray. Say, you know what, I'm not patient, but I'm going to pray for that. Please. Yes, yes, that's if we just got, and again, this is maybe a crazy example, but I think of this summit with Trump and Kim Jong-un, Kim, the bad man, but just, you know, if this works out, I can't imagine the things he would ask of the United States, and I'm sure some of it would be financial, but I'm totally making this up, trust me, I know I am, but what if he did say, hey, I don't know how to have a democratic country, I don't know how to do that, I don't know how to have a constitution, I don't know how to allow freedom of belief or religion, would you just teach me how to do that, Mr. Trump or America or whoever, you know? Whoa! Wow. Whew, that gave me chills. Wow. Wow. Wow, gives me chills. Yes. So, I'm just trying to only use that. Definitely we should be praying. My husband and I prayed last night. My granddaughter and her two great-grandchildren, ages 5 and 9, prayed last night for this meeting and for these things to take place. But my point is only this. Imagine what he could get from the United States. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking advice and support and encouragement if he asked for it. And he really, truly wanted to change. That would be given, right? What can we get from our God? He who did not withhold his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And the more you're in his word, then the more you know what to ask for because you know what his will is. And so you don't even have to look it up and go through pages. You're just praying. Lord, strengthen me with power according to your glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. I pray that I would walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. So get into his word, ask him to help you, and let's start praying powerful prayers that he will answer. And thank you, Sally, for bearing with me. Let me just close this. Well, let me ask, first of all, does anybody, we have a couple minutes, have a question? Yes, Kim. We call him Kim.
And I just thought, I hope and pray that in that session, there was nobody there.
Right.
That President Trump said, pleaded with him as a father.
Yes.
To a son.
Yes. 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 Did y'all all hear that? Yes. There's so many prayers to pray there. Becky? I heard.
Summer of 2014, the second time I came to the summer Bible study, my husband and I are in ministry, and we have a ministry with a young pastor in Pakistan. Many of you have heard about him, Brother Stephen, or Elvis. And that day, I shared about some family that Elvis had told us about, the young women, the teenage girls in their 20s too, in this family were being really harassed by young Pakistani men who lived above them, and they had no roof on a part of their house. And the terrible thing that was happening is these young men would throw condoms on them that were filled with semen. And just a horrible thing. So I shared that day. Do any of you remember that?
Yes.
And they needed about $700 to put this roof on. And I shared that with you girls. And by the time I left Bible study that day, I had $723. Oh. And so remember, Elvis got the roof put on by some workers. And then he came on Skype, and you met him, and we talked to him, and he thanked you. And we are still working with Elvis, but he has since been persecuted a couple times, tortured since we've known him. We've known him for 5 years now. And so our prayer now is that he would be able to escape from his country, because he is in hiding virtually, and he stays in one room most of the time. He has a wife now and a baby that's turning 1 year old tomorrow, Jeremiah. And before Christmas this year, past year, God put a verse in my heart for Elvis and his family. Is anything too hard for me? He said to me one day. And the other verse you know, with man, nothing is possible. But with God, all things are possible. And he put that on my heart, and I wrote, and some of you were the recipients of my writing, because I thought of the Red Sea crossing and how that was totally impossible. The people were facing a totally impossible sea in front of them and enemies behind them. And so I call it the Red Sea Crossing Miracle Prayer Team. And some of you are on that. And we're praying for Elvis and his family to be lifted out of that country and that situation. Pakistan is one of the most rogue nations in the world, with terrorists everywhere. And some of these terrorists are the ones that have been chasing Elvis. And they're still after him. And they just don't know where he is. They think he's left the country. But he has two brothers in Nepal, because he sent them to Nepal to escape. And they are trying to get refugee status. So from the UN, and if they can do that, then we need to find churches and people that can come out with thousands of dollars to bring them here so that his whole family can be brought. Now that's one way. That's the way we can see. But does God have another way to bring them? Mm-hmm. You know, just like you would never imagine. Just like opening the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. You know, making the wind blow, the soil dried up, and the people walked across.
That's right.
And so here's Elvis and his family with enemies behind him, and we are the prayer channel for him. So that's my life. This is the work God has given me right now, is to let people know, let them pray, talking about prayer, and see the miracles that God wants to do. So anyway, I'm leaving here, and I'm carrying this burden with me. It's a burden God has put on me, and sometimes it wears me out. And we had someone tell us back in Hickory, we were back there, that's where we're moving to in North Carolina. They said, Norman, Becky, this is too big a burden for you. You need the church, the body of Christ behind you. So we're just praying for more of the church to come behind us and see God work. Because Elvis is an anointed man of God. He has a message for the American church, I believe, about persecuted believers and about Americans getting out of their comfort zone, Westerners, you know, realizing what's really happening in the world. And taking, sacrificing for these persecuted Christians all over the world. So I'm going in the strength of the Lord God, and will make mention of his righteousness and of his alone. That's Psalm 71:16. Look that up, because it's also a psalm for old people, of which I am now, 75. And someone in our new town said to me, but you're coming here, Becky, and you're going to be a Mrs. Caleb. you're going to climb your mountain, you know, how did Caleb did at 85. And God has, you're not just coming here because you have bad health and you can't live in Colorado, but God is going to use you in greater ways than ever before. And that's the confirmation God gave me about moving. I don't want to move. My daughter lives here with four grandchildren. My son-in-law is Kerry Green, for most of you know him. And we're leaving with sadness, but we're also going to another daughter and three grandchildren. And my sister lives out there too. And it's green, green, green out there, girls.
When do you go? When do you go?
And we leave, we drive out of here, Lord willing, June 25th. In the morning. So pray for our safety. And adopted son that we have had for 20 years now, came out of drugs and prison, and I have some identity with her. He's driving us out. He said, I'm going to drive Miss Daisy. So,
well, can we just pray for you right now? It's not the last week, but let's just pray. Lord, I pray for Becky and Norm and for their safety as they travel. Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen her with all power according to your glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. I pray that she would endure this time of separation and pain so that you would make her perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I pray that she would wait on you and renew her strength and gain, what is that verse now? It's lost my mind. Gain new strength. That her strength would be new, that she's never had before. Not just a healing, but an emotional, a spiritual, and a physical strength that she doesn't have right now. And Lord, I pray for opportunities that even now you would work in her both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And that you would have the good works. We know we thank you in advance that you've prepared good works for her to walk in until the day she walks into heaven, that there's good works she still needs to walk in. And I pray that you would be clear and show her what those are, and that you would just give her the peace that passes understanding, Lord, as she packs and prepares to leave and says goodbye. And Lord, we love Becky. We thank you for her influence and what she's brought to our body of Christ. And I pray for Elvis's protection and for a team that would support him with prayer and finances and wisdom, and that you would just miraculously deliver him out of that country soon and very soon. And we ask that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you. Girls.
Thank you. Well, girls, I just thank y'all so much for coming. And does anybody have another quick question? Just something quick? Anybody? Miss Bobby. Okay. Did y'all hear that? The books for Mitzi. They're outside, and then they're in the little prayer room. So let me just close us in prayer real quick. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us the word that we already know what your will is. You've shown us exactly what it is. You've told us that if we will pray according to your word, that you will hear us and answer us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would give each of us a desire to get into your word and to pray your word and to cling to your word. And I pray for those that we're already thinking about, like the woman that Pat brought up, who's so fearful and just in so much trouble. Lord, give us your word for these people so that we can start praying powerful prayers and we can see your deliverance and see you working. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. I just pray for each one of us that we would become prayer warriors. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So let me just tell you what we're doing. We are not going to have Bible study June 26th. We're not going to have, so there's one more. Next week we'll have one study. And then we won't have it June 26th. That's Vacation Bible School. The next week is July 3rd, so we're not going to have it then either. Lots of visitors coming and going, so we're not going to have it then. So we'll resume on July 10th for the last session of this, of the prayer thing. Then we'll break again for the Victorian Tea, which is July 18th. I think I've got those dates right. The 17th. Thank you, Andy. And then, Bobby, do we have permission for the next, for the Bible study you and I had talked about? Okay, so then after that, I'm going to do a Bible study on Ephesians. So it'll be a lecture study, and we'll just go verse by verse, word by word. And we'll just go through Ephesians, probably a chapter a week. And it'll just be lecture. There's no book. There's no homework. And we'll just talk about Ephesians, all the great word that's in there. So that's our plans for the summer. That'll carry us through to September. So there we go. And I would love y'all's prayers. I prepare all of this. It's, you know, I'm doing it myself. And so just pray for me and my wisdom and insight. insight and strength and all those good things. Thank you, girls. Appreciate y'all.